Praise God.
And if you belong to Christ, who holds the power and the healing abilities, that same power and healing abilities belong to you too.
Whoa.
You too also have self-healing abilities and that same power that Christ walks you with.
My God.
Isn't that nice?
To make a change, you know, because right away, you know, they say, well, I gotta change, right? I gotta make this transformation in my life, right? You know, exactly how long it's gonna take, because that, I mean, that could be a long process. That process can,
Marcus Hart Transform You Radio Show. The only radio show where you can make real results and start living in your purpose. Visit MarcusHartEnterprises.com. MarcusHartEnterprises.com.
Okay, we are getting ready. We're getting started. And thank you for the hard right away. Those of you who are tuning in via Periscope and watching me live, we are just thrilled. This is Saturday. Yes, it is. This is a special edition show. You know, we normally don't broadcast on Saturdays, but this is doubleheader Saturday. We just had an awesome guest, and we just returned it back from break right now, and we're getting rolling again. We have another explosive, awesome guest, too, very amazing, fabulous person, and, you know, I'm just thrilled. You know, it's been a wonderful night so far. It's already turning pitch black down here in, over here, Wisconsin. And so, you know, we just blessed. You know, we just blessed with all the great content we can fed today, with all the just the interesting things we had learned from Kelly. Dr. Kelly was on earlier, and we're going to be blessed again with another awesome person. So before we get over to our guests, I just once again want to just thank each and every one of you guys who's just been listening in all day today, and just been enjoying the program and just, you know, receiving all this information. And if you want to join our community, if you're not a part of our community already, make sure you head over to TransformUBroadcast.com. That's Transform, the letter U, Broadcast.com. I'm telling you, you're going to find a collection of world-leading, you know, experts, as well as their friends and my friends. And then when you bring your friends along, we all going to be friends, and we're going to be exchanging the positive love together and exchanging great content and sharing the great content that we deliver here on the Transform You Live Show. So with that being said, there's no other updates, you know, to provide to you guys or no other news. I would just remind you guys that I am broadcasting live from my apartment today. You know, I'm not in the studio today. I am at home at my apartment. Yes. So it could be quite interesting because my kids are somewhere running around in the back. So if they happen to just pop up, you know, just disregard. Just disregard. Okay. And speaking of kids, you know, the guy that we have on, you know, the man, I should say, the young man, is Dr. John DeGarma. I mean, awesome person, awesome guest. I'm very humbled to have him. It's definitely a blessing that he would, you know, reach out to us and inquire with us on putting together such an awesome show that we're expecting to be able to get out of interviewing with him. He is the author of 6 books. He brings also a story that's filled with much drama, humor, and emotion that we all can resonate with and relate to. He's also a writer for the Huffington Post. He's a speaker, very popular speaker. He traveled all across the U.S. on a weekly basis, you know. So this guy got his hands full. So for him to be on this show, he's definitely, you know, displaying some humility and some gratefulness for all that he's accomplishing. And then he helps a lot of children. His primary focus is children. So very interesting fact about him, he has 10 kids in his household. 10 kids in his household and family. And we will talk about how that came about in just a second. So without further ado, let's hear it for Dr. John DeGarma.
Thank you so much for having me on the program.
It's definitely a blessing to have you on, John. You know, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm actually in Baltimore, Maryland right now. I just delivered a keynote speech to the foster parents in the state of Maryland and taking some downtime in a hotel room. Thank you.
Oh, awesome. He's in his hotel room. You're a busy person. Okay, so tell them a little bit about yourself, John.
Well, I've been a foster parent for 13 years now. My wife and I have, we've had about 50 kids come through our home during that time. We have adopted 3 children from foster care. We have 3 biological children of our own. We've really devoted our lives to helping kids in need. My wife's from Australia, and we met in a performing group called Up With People. Did a lot of service
awesome.
Around the world, and we thought, how can we serve kids here where we live? So it's kind of how it started, and from there it branched out into lots of books and video shows and speaking engagements and when this and that. Yeah,
fantastic. You know, I guess the guest is dying to know. You know, the such and all, and just the huge contribution that you offer to kids everywhere. You know, how do you manage your time, you know, with your work life and family life?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I go to work to rest. That's really the truth. I go to work to rest because when we get in our house, it's full on. We have children with lots of anxieties in our houses and lots of trauma. And it can be challenging at times, to be honest with you, when we're at home. But how do we manage time? You know, to be honest with you, a lot of prayer. And... the blessing of having a 32-hour day, because that's pretty much what I need to get 32 hours a day to get everything done. To be honest, my wife and I, when our heads hit the pillow at night, we are pretty doggone exhausted every day.
I definitely understand where you're coming from, because, you know, in my own house, I have 5 kids of my own, so, you know, I can just imagine doubling that number and then adding on some dogs.
Right.
So it says here that you worked in professional wrestling for a few years. What was that like?
Oh, dear. You're asking about the professional wrestling? Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, when I was a child, it's all I wanted to do. So my wife gave me the blessing, if you will, the opportunity to get it out of my system. And for a number of years, I traveled the country as a manager, so to speak, of the bad guys. If you ever watched it, I was like the Jimmy the Mouse, the Arg, the Bobby the Brain Heenan. I was that type of guy. It was a lot of fun, you know, and I had a great time doing it. I was on the road about 5 nights a week, and it was fun.
Okay. So was that like WWE or like more like something amateur outside of WWE?
Well, it's interesting you ask. You know, in professional baseball, there's the major league and the minor leagues. And the minor leagues will, you know, train you, and occasionally they'll call you up to the big leagues. Well, that's what it's like in wrestling. I did a lot of minor league shows, and then occasionally I'd be called up to the big leagues, so to speak. It was a good time. My wife, to be honest with you, my wife hated it. She absolutely hated it. But she knew that it was something I wanted to do. So I'm very fortunate to have somebody who would support me in that. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah. So with your kids, do you discourage them from like watching wrestling, or is it like, you know, you all get around the TV and get together and watch together like family night?
They don't watch it at all for 2 reasons. My wife despises it, so I respect her in that. And second of all, it has really changed from when I watched it and when I entered it. You know, it's like pretty much everything in society today. It's all about profanity. It's all about girls wearing next to nothing. It's all about, you know, we live in a world where there's a breakdown of values and morals and family values, and that reflects it on today's wrestling program. It's just a different thing. And as my faith grew, stronger, it's something I recognize. You know what? I can't continue to do this. So, yeah.
Right. Exactly. You know, hey, and I applaud you on just striving towards, you know, growing in your faith. And so You know, and I asked that question because, you know, you mentioned something very important, you know, the balance between, you know, what the world see values are, you know, today versus, like, raising your kids. And you being an expert on just parent factors, you know, how can we, you know, as parents begin to just balance that or protect our kids against some of the things we don't want them exposed to?
Well, you know, it's interesting you asked that. Not only did I do a keynote seminar today, I also did a training seminar called Keeping Foster Children Safe. And it is about just a very topic about how we keep today's kids safe online from the many, many dangers of online technology and social networking. It is something that parents have to decide, hey, is this something that's important to us, and then make a consistent, and I mean day-to-day consistent effort to monitor what their children are doing online, to monitor who their contacts are, who they're associated with, to monitor and to make sure that the kids are being protected. I often tell my foster parents that I train that I am not my child's friend. I am my child's parent. When my child becomes, you know, 20 years of age, I'll be their friend then. But right now, I'm their parent and I'm keeping them safe. So if I'm scrolling through their computer or their phone to make sure that there's nobody contacting them that's going to be, or they're not looking at stuff that's not allowable,
right,
I'm not invading their privacy. I'm keeping them safe. So, you know, I made the determination, my wife and I made the determination a long time ago, that we are going to make sure on a day-to-day basis that we're in this together, that we're unified in this, and we're going to keep our children safe from a very, very dangerous world out there.
Right. Wow. You know, yeah, you definitely just touching some of the right spots right now when it comes to, you know, proper raising, proper child rearing, actually. You know, so as we look around today, it's like society has created a brand of parents that, like, you know, like, that feel guilty about doing what parents are supposed to do. So how do we begin to, like, deliver a message to help parents get over that guilt that they hold?
Well, there's two things. You know, if they have guilt, the guilt is coming from someplace, whether it's inside themselves or from society or from the media or from their friends. And they have to recognize that this is guilt, and they have to put that aside. Now, I've experienced guilt myself as well. Sure, absolutely. It's something I struggle with, and I talk a lot about that in my book, Fostering Love, One Foster Parent's Journey. I had experiences as a foster parent where I really struggled with guilt for 2 years, but I had to pray through it and work through it. And then the parents in general have to just appreciate the fact that, you know what, if I'm not going to keep my child safe, then who is? If I'm not going to protect my child, then who is? That is the responsibility of being a parent, is making sure that you walk hand in hand with your child and guide them and teach them and protect them. It's not just something you do once in a while. It's something that you do every single day.
Definitely. Oh, I love it. You know, you definitely are like the poster child for, you know, what a parent should look like. And you know, so, like, do you get any, you know, conflict that between, you know, like, your values and beliefs on how your children should be raised versus, you know, versus, like, your spouse?
Well,
or is it a collaborative effort?
It's a very collaborative effort. Fortunately for me, my wife has trained me pretty darn good. You know, of course we have disagreements from time to time. But, you know, my wife and I, first of all, we were friends for a very, very long time before we became romantically involved. So I think that deep friendship developed a healthy dose of respect for each other. Because my wife is my best friend, and so we, you know, we discuss everything, of course, pray about everything. But, you know, parenting is a two-person, if you're married, if you have a partner, it's a two-parent job. You can't let one person do the majority of the parenting or the disciplining, because there's going to be resentment there. There's going to be some type of frustration or burnout there. So if my wife and I have a discussion about something, we're going to discuss it, and we're going to talk about it. And that's normal. It's normal to have disagreements, because it's two people. They're not exactly alike. But we make sure that we are consistent in our parenting and our discipline, and, you know, we'll discuss what the discipline of the concept might be before we, you know, sometimes before we talk about this with Todd.
Okay. Yeah, and consistency is so important, you know, especially when you got 10 kids. Oh, my God. You know, it's so easy to, you know, jump off that consistency train, you know, when you got an underlying goal for, like, how you raise your kids. Have you found yourself, like, you know, ever, you know, treating kids a little bit differently than the others because, you know, because of personalities, or is it just consistent all across the board?
Well, when you have 50-plus children come to your home, and my oldest biologically is 18 years of age, although I do have a child who's 25 who considers us mom and dad, a former foster child, and I've adopted 3 kids, and some of them are very, very young, so I have a whole gamut of ages in my home. And I'll be honest with you, there are times where my wife and I are a little tired, we're a little exhausted, we're a little worn out, and one might let it slide, and the other one might say, hey, you know, we've got to be consistent. And it's just a reminder of, oh, yeah, you're right. We can't let this thing slide. We have to. We've got to remain consistent in all that we do. Because if you don't, then it just breaks down. It breaks down in so many different ways. Now, I do think this. I have certainly learned as a parent from the past 18, 19 years now. And every child is different. So what might work for one child may not work for another child. As a foster parent, I discipline my foster children very differently than I might discipline my own children. Now, you know, my own kids, I'm not afraid to give them a spanking to the young ones if they've done wrong. You know, if we discuss it and they continue to make their poor choices, a little spanking for one of them, you know, a gentle spanking, of course, might direct one into the right area. But for my foster kids, they don't get that. So it's a different form of discipline, right, if you will. And, you know, again, every child's different, so you got to find out what form of discipline works for that child.
Okay. So with your book, you mentioned your book here earlier. Do we find a lot of this type of information, like, loaded in your book? You know, is it like the Bible for parents?
No, you know, I do have a book called The Foster Parenting Manual, which is like a Bible, if you will, for foster parents. I wrote it after I did my doctorate in foster care. I realized that there's no book, there's no handbook, there's no manual for foster parents. So I went back and asked myself, what did I wish I learned as a foster parent when I went through training, and what do I still need to know today? So that's what that is. My book, Fostering Love and The Sequel, Love and Mayhem, are two very honest approaches of what it's like being a foster parent. I don't sugarcoat it. I say this is the hardest thing I've ever done. I say these are the challenges I've had, the frustrations I've had, sometimes the challenges of my own faith. I also talk about the struggles and the joys and the successes and the heartbreak and the heartfelt joy. And I say that this is hard, but it's also the most important thing I've ever done. So it's a book that not only do foster parents pick up, but it's a book for anybody who loves children to pick up and become inspired. It's a book that you'll be laughing on one page and crying on the other, because it's a book full of I lay all of the emotions out that I go through, and I don't sugarcoat it at all. I just say, hey, this is what it's like.
Definitely. Wow, yeah, and I like that. You know, honesty, you know, more honesty, more actual, you know, just laying it all aside, you know, and giving people the nitty gritty, you know, that's very important. You know, I'm pretty sure readers out there would appreciate that, you know, if they were to pick up your book. Now, tell us a little bit about your radio program, Parafactors.
Oh, thanks. So a number of years ago, I've done radio, traditional radio, if you will, with the DJ, both in Australia and in the various states of America. And that was 20-some years ago, and then recently, about 3 years ago, I thought, you know what, I missed it. The radio's so different today, so I have something called Parent Factors with Dr. John, and it's a 30-minute program we tape once a week, and we talk about all things parenting. I mean all things parenting.
Right.
And you can download the archives on my website, and every week we have a different guest on there that's some type of parent expert, if you will. So it's a great program. It's for anybody who is parenting a child in their life, whether it's a grandparent or a guardian or an aunt or uncle or mommy and daddy. Yeah.
Great. So now, just some of the things that you offer, in your books particularly, would you say that it's, pretty, adaptable, by anyone? Is it more geared towards new foster parents or just, those who've been foster parents for quite a while?
Which book is that? Are you referring to the Foster Parenting Manual or the book Fostering Love? Fostering Love is written for anybody. I wrote it initially. I wrote Fostering Love, One Foster Parent's Journey. I wrote that book because I wanted, before I was a foster parent, I really didn't understand what the foster care system was like. I didn't understand what the challenges foster kids went through. I didn't really know what foster parents did. I thought they were a little strange, a little unusual, to be honest with you. And that's true. We have to be a little odd to do what we do. That's true. But I wanted to write a book where I wanted to show those people who had no clue what it was like. I wanted to encourage and inspire other people to reach out to children in foster care. And I've been very, very fortunate. It's been an inspirational bestseller on lots of lists. So perhaps that's been its job, Brad.
Definitely. Wow. You definitely are sparking some general interest for me myself, especially as a young parent, I got tons of questions. We could probably do this all day. But let's talk a little bit more about, what type of information or what type of initial things would you recommend to someone who's considering becoming a foster parent?
Well, to begin with, they have to discuss it. If they're married, discuss it with their spouse, discuss it with their partner. And they have to both be on board, because it's not something one parent can do and the other parent not want to do, because it will tear a marriage apart. It is very, very challenging. It's very, very demanding. It's pretty much a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day job a year. You're bringing a child into your home that has suffered from some type of trauma and suffering from some type of anxiety.
Right.
And these kids, for the most part, they don't want to be in our home. They always want to go back to mommy and daddy, even though they may have been raped, abused, neglected, abandoned. They want to go back to their norm, to their mommy or daddy. So it can be difficult. So if one parent is on board and the other is not, it's going to be very, very challenging to a marriage. So when you both have decided that's something that you want to do, talk about with your family members if you have children, and then you go to your local child welfare agency in your town or your state, and you sign up for training. And training can take several weeks to several months, depends on how you do it. And you got to get your house inspected and police background check and drug check and all that kind of thing, because these aren't your children. They're children from the state. So the state has to determine if going to your home is the best, safest place for these kids. So it's kind of a long process. But and then you wait for your first placement after that. So it could be several months to maybe even a year to from when you begin the process to when the first child placed in your home.
Right. Wow. So when you get exposed to these kids and you finally went through the process and you got accepted and you get placed with your kid, how do you begin to create that connection with them?
Well, that takes time. For the most part, these children, again, they don't want to be in your home. When they arrive in my home, the majority of them are going to spend those first few nights in my home crying. They're going to say questions like, where is my mommy? When do I see mommy next? Why am I here? How long will I be here? Those are normal questions for kids in care. Not everyone is like that, but that's how most of them are like. So it takes time, because they're going to, we have to remember, we're strangers to these children. They've been taken away from everything they know. Everything they know they've been taken away from. And suddenly, without any explanation many times, and placed into a strange home with strange people. And that's traumatic as it is. If you have children, can you imagine your own child being taken away from you in the middle of the night and placed with strangers they've never met? They're going to be terrified. Absolutely terrified. So it takes them to trust you and to accept that, this is a different environment. So, you've got to build relationships and you've got to have patience. and compassion. And what the kids need the most from foster parents is unconditional love. We have to give them all the love that we have. Sadly, for some of these kids, we might be the only adult in their life who does give them that unconditional love, because they may go back to an environment that is not so loving.
Man, oh, yeah, I love that. You know, love is definitely key. Love definitely can fight back against any type of opposition. You just keep loving. And that's definitely the message that I'm hearing you, you know, recommend to most of us.
You do have to do that, because not every child is going to accept that love. I write in my book, Fostering Love, and the sequel, Love and Mayhem. There have been some of those children who have refused to accept what my wife and I give them, that love, that stability, that security. They just have so many walls in front of them, maybe because they've been abused and betrayed by the adults in their lives so many times. They don't know how to form a healthy attachment. They don't know how to trust an adult. And that's okay, too.
Right.
I understand that. That's just, you know, that's their journey they've been on. And we just have to try to provide healing for them and provide hope for them.
Definitely. Thinking about your history and what you shared briefly with us, you know, having that experience as being a foster kid before in your past, does that help you become a better foster parent, or is that something you just learned?
I'm not a foster child myself, so you know.
Okay, I do excuse me.
sadly, the statistics for kids in foster care are not so positive. They're pretty grim, actually. Of those children who age out of the foster care system, which means, you know, they stay in the system until they turn 18 in some states, or 21 in another state, and the system is done with them, sadly, 55% will drop out of school, 65% will end up homeless, 75% will end up in jail, because the system has in some way failed them. So, the statistics aren't so grim. Now, I do know some foster parents who are former foster children, and their experiences give them a different perspective, and they can certainly relate to what the children are going through. So that is a positive. That's absolutely a bonus, sure.
Okay, yeah, and do excuse me. I must have heard incorrectly earlier, and so I didn't mean to address you.
Right.
So. Yeah, imperfection here. This is a show where we welcome any type of imperfection. So, looking at your new book, now this is your newest book here, Helping Foster Children in School. Is that the newest book?
That is the newest one. It came out last year. It's based on my doctorate, actually. And my doctorate was on, I used to teach high school, and I was experiencing my own foster children come to the school I taught, or at the school my children were going through, and I was watching them suffer academically. Their grades would drop. They're usually about a year and a half behind in school, and I would watch their behavior go up, because schools are not equipped. They're not equipped to care for children in foster care. Teachers are not trained on how to handle the challenges of foster care kids go through, and they're
right.
It's such a different challenge than your normal child. School counselors, school administrators, and they have no training. There are no resources out there for teachers. So that's what the book's about. It's for teachers, it's for caseworkers, it's for foster parents, all to come together to try to prevent 55% of the kids dropping out of school.
Yeah, and that is definitely a huge problem, and, you know, it is very concerning. I can imagine what teachers, go through, and they probably definitely are crying for help. So what type of conversation would you have with a teacher who will come up to you and ask you, you know, what can I do to, you know, begin to help these kids?
Well, I would say to teachers, first of all, I'd say, hey, this is for the child gone through. Without disclosing privacy, I would try to give as much information about the child as I could to the teacher, so the teacher could have a better understanding of what the child's going through. I would then ask for some understanding when it comes to assigning homework for the child. these children in foster care often have to go visit their family members, their birth family members, mm-hmm. and that might mean going to visit them in jail. So when a child goes to visit a birth parent, when they come back, they're not thinking about school. They're thinking about their mommy or their daddy. They're thinking about survival. When they're in the school, they're not thinking about studying for the math test tomorrow. They're thinking about, will I ever see mommy again? Is this the last time I saw mommy, or is this the last time I saw daddy? Or why is mommy in jail? Is it my fault? Something like that. That's in their mind. So I ask my teachers to give consideration when they assign homework. This time I ask them, hey, can you please give the child a couple more days to do the homework assignment? Or maybe today's not a good day for a test because last night he just saw mommy and mommy was upset and the child's now, it's now internally disturbing the child. So that's just some of the many things I might ask the teacher to do.
Wow, that's awesome information. And, you never really consider what they go through and what their feelings are, returning from those visits. And so, you just really offered, a nugget right there for us really begin to, have a little bit more open mind about what's really going on with these kids. So, we greatly appreciate you. You truly are a blessing to this program today. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, just thank you very much. I do have a new book coming out in April called Faith and Foster Care, which I talk about how the church, how God is calling the church to help kids in foster care. Not everybody can be a foster parent. I understand that completely. I get it. I know that. But everybody can help in some way. So that's a book about how the church in general can reach out to kids in foster care, to the foster parents, and even to the birth parents.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so I look forward to that one as well. And, we definitely would like to connect with you. So if the audience want to connect with you, how would they go about connecting with you?
Oh, it's pretty simple. You go to Facebook or Twitter and type in Dr. John DeGarmo, Foster Care. You just Google Dr. John DeGarmo, Foster Care, and my website will come up there. You can email me from there, contact me through there. I also write for the Huffington Post and lots of other magazines. So you can find all that information pretty much online.
Okay. And so that we have the right and correct spelling of your last name, can you just spell that out for us?
Sure. D as in David, E. G as in Gary, A-R. M as in Mary, O. D-E-G-A-R-M-O, Dr. John DeGarmo.
Awesome. Fantastic. Now, is there any final words you want to leave the audience with before we part ways here?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Roughly on any given day in America, there are 500,000 children in foster care. It's not their fault. It is not their fault. They are a victim of abuse. They're a victim of neglect. They're a victim of being abandoned. They're suffering from such horrible things sometimes, horrible things that we would never even imagine are happening in the United States of America to children. Yet there are not enough homes to care for these kids in need. And I just encourage anybody listening, if they're considering becoming a foster parent, find out more about it. There is some way, whether you're a foster parent or whether you're not, there's some way you can help a child right now in need. There's a child, as you listen to this program, there's a child right now out there who needs someone to love him.
Nice, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah, we definitely should feel a little bit more encouraged now and begin to, help someone who's definitely in need. And the children are important. Children are key. They are the generations following after us. So, we greatly appreciate that encouragement you just offered for all of us, myself included.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So it's a question that I'll always ask every guest that comes on. Definitely with it being the election season here, and considering kids too, We got leaders who potentially could be the next president. Do you have any thoughts on the current political arena right now?
Oh, I'm just very worried. I am so worried. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna pray every day that our next leader is somebody who looks for God for wisdom and guidance. We've got some big challenges in our country right now. We have so many people on welfare, and so many families are dysfunctional. And you know what? I see that as a foster parent because I take their children into my home. And we've got to have to change it.
Yeah, that's definitely who we gotta give all our hope into, you know, and just trusting in, you know, divine order, you know, to, you know, make sure whoever gets in that they be able to hear, you know, the voice of God, and you know, and just following, you know, doing the right thing for all of us. Yeah, so I greatly appreciate you, you know, so much. You know, you've definitely been a blessing to this program here today. You truly offered us some value. We greatly appreciate it. And you know, to those who are out there listening, you know, if you definitely want to get connected with Dr. John DeGarmo, he gave you the best way to reach out to him, and that's simply through Google, you know. And the recording of this interview will be archived directly on our website as well as our YouTube channel. But feel free to reach out to us. Feel free to get connected with John DeGarmo, as well as the rest of our world of leading world experts and friends and their friends as well. I'm getting a little tongue-tied here. Throat is a little bit of dry. We went back-to-back here today, you know, so it was an awesome time. I really enjoyed myself. I know you guys got a lot out of it. And to all my replay viewers, thank you so much, and continue to replay this recording as well as many others over and over and over again, and make sure you share. Sharing is very important. You definitely want, whenever you hear something great and have been touched or blessed by something, it's always important to share it with someone else. With that being said, you know, the best way to contact us once again is TransformU, the letter U, broadcast.com. That's TransformU, the letter U, broadcast.com. Until next time, many blessings, peace, and love. And make sure you have a wonderful, awesome, safe weekend.